This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is David Duke, Internet, Web, Radio, Worldwide, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and Americans, wherever they may dwell. People of European descent certainly need a voice, and they need a source for news and information that's more free than the source that we receive from the so-called oligarchs of the media. It reminds me again of Bush's famous statements about how that we need an independent media in Russia. And a lot of the media in America, like the New York Times, is saying that, well, we need an independent media in Russia, and that it's terrible the government controls too much of the Russian media. But what do they think? Do you think the New York Times, owned by the Sulzbergers, is this rabidly pro-Israeli, anti-Palestinian, and really anti-American paper that went along with the entire weapons of mass destruction garbage, baloney, that was thrown at the American people? Is this the independent source that we need for America? Well, of course not. The truth is, these unelected oligarchs control so much of our media, both in America and Europe and around the world. In Russia, the same thing is true. A great deal of the media is controlled by them. And this is supposed to be independent media? Berezovsky is called, of course, the Wolf of the Kremlin, and he's one of the biggest gangsters in the history of the world. He's murdered people, he's extorted, he's bribed, he's done about every possible evil act that an individual can do. He's now hiding out. Britain has shielded him from prosecution, of course, certainly with the impact and the powerful influence of the Jewish supremacists. Again, they have a lot of people in high places, as we all know. The same thing's true of Vladimir Gazinsky, the former media boss here in Russia, who bought his network, has given the network really through a series of bribes and corruption, and then fled the country when finally the government took some actions to prosecute this gangster. Of course, the thing about Gazinsky is that Gazinsky was head of the World Jewish Organization in Russia. He was the top Jewish leader in Russia. He was a gangster. And let me tell you something. I'm not talking about something that's unusual. This is something that's quite usual. How many people know that the ADL itself was financed in great part to the original Jewish gangsters in the United States of America? And and we can go on and on about this kind of subject, but you never hear the other side of it. You know, they've got the best public relations in the world because they dominate the press of the world. And if anyone dares to expose them, then we're the ones called the haters or the bigots or the terrible people. I think the bigotry is done by this media, which really casts so much hatred on our own people, our own heritage, and we see that every day. And our people have been paying with—they've been paying with blood, and it's just so frustrating to try to communicate this to people, and then they don't seem to listen. So anyway, we're working hard over here, and I'm really glad to speak to my friends and family back in the States, and it's so good to be with you and be able to communicate with you again. I'm going to go right to the email, and then I'm going to go over to stormfront.org, to the town hall section, and I'll be looking forward to taking some of those posts. In fact, maybe I should take the post on Stormfront first. I'm not quite sure which order I should do this tonight. This is from Riemann. He says, and this is from Stormfront Town Hall. And by the way, if you want to send in a question or thought or comment, you can write me directly at info1@davidduke.com, or you can simply post on stormfront.org. And on the Town Hall section, the top of every Stormfront page, there's a link. Riemann says, I too enjoyed the exchange with R. Ginson yesterday. Paul Johnson, I never heard of him until I read the letter. So he is supposed to be a journalist turned historian, another turned amateur psychologist. How impressive. Hey, R. Ginson, I read about how your vaunted historian Paul Johnson was supposedly one of the first to talk about the evil of the left, which many historians excused. So David Duke is right. You need to bring up the Jewish Bolshevik Kaganovich also for some balance. Or did millions of murdered Ukrainians simply slip your memory? Okay. And thanks, Mr. Riemann. And that's exactly the good point. This is from another foreign member. Please leave your name as well. This is a complicated screen name. Isa Fordor, looks like. I understand that from reading the first introductory chapter of your book, My Awakening, that used to live in Den Haag, Netherlands, on Kwan 6 as a child in kindergarten. I had the opportunity to visit that area of Den Haag, a little bit over a month ago. I attached a few photos of your former homestead on Kwan 6 Street that I took when I drove my Avis rental from Maastricht, where I stayed, to Den Haag. I also included a photo of the street sign, your street outside where you used to live, and playground on Kiplin, where I'm sure you used to play as a child. I was wondering if you still speak Dutch and how good your German is. I was wondering if you can tell me more about your life when you lived in Europe as a child. Well, my Dutch is practically non-existent today. I spoke it when I was in kindergarten. I did go to Dutch school. But over the years, you lose that if you don't speak it. And we certainly did not speak it in my home. My parents were completely English speakers. And over the years, I took a little German in school. And I learned a little German when I went to school in Austria for some courses back in the middle 80s. But my German, I don't really keep up with it, but I can get by in Germany. And I can read a text with the help of a trusty German dictionary. So I'm not fluent in the language, and I just am not willing to spend the time necessary to become perfectly fluent in German or Russian or any of the languages that sometimes I have to encounter, because my schedule is so overwhelming. I've got books to write. I've got radio programs to do. I've got speeches to make. I've got people to meet. I've got an organization to run. I mean, it's an amazing, it's just incredibly oppressive schedule that I have on my head, and it's been that way for many years, and I just don't have the personal luxury to sit and study a language. It's more important that I become as fluent as I can and as literate as I can on my own. So I spend my time doing my own reading and writing and researching rather than studying another language, even though I have picked up some Russian and I picked up certainly some German over the years, simply from my contact with Germans and Russians and my reading of some of that press. Anyway, this is from Freya's son. Greetings, Mr. Duke. I wasn't able to listen to your radio broadcast because I use web TV. I am able to listen to NA's American Dissident Voices weekly radio broadcast, and I would like to listen to yours as well. Is there any way this could be modified so I could tune it in, Freya's son? Well, we're going to have to ask about that and ask them how they do it in terms of the web broadcast, but it's a very tiny percentage, actually, of our listeners that work that way, and everything is a time-intensive operation, Freya. And I hate to Freya's son, and I hate to tell you that we're not going to do it. But if we can do it easily and simply, without making a whole nother pass and a whole nother modification of our sound file, then we certainly will do it. Okay, this is from Kevro. He says, Mr. Duke, how come the American government still has not given slavery reparations to the blacks? You would think the political correctness that the government unleashes to our society, that they would have already gave reparations to them. Thanks, Kevin. Well, you know, everything it seems that the government does, it goes crazy to extremes. And the whole idea of reparations, of course, is absolutely insane. Are we going to ask the Jewish slave traders who dominated the slave trade in Central Europe and the Mediterranean region for 2,000 years? And by the way, that's according to Mr. Marcus, one of the leading Jewish historians in the world, and you could find that in the Encyclopedia Britannica. And are we going to expect them to give us reparations as white folks? You know, are we going to expect every white family who died from an Indian raid to have the Indians give us reparations, or Indians to get reparations from us? They have actually got reparations in a lot of ways in terms of some of the lands and so forth. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's the whole idea of reparations is absolutely insane. It's a crazy idea, and you know, there's no the money. Anytime you give money reparations for this kind of operation, it's got to come from somewhere and from somebody. And what you're doing is you're saying that because of the sins of these ancestors way down the line, we're going to make the young people and the people who are alive today pay for that. There's no system of justice in the world that would sanctify our okay a system where you punish a child for the sins of the great-grandfathers or the great-great-great-great-grandfathers. And this is kind of an insane thing. Plus, you also got to remember that only 5% of the white population of the colonies ever owned any slaves. That's less than 5%. The truth is that most blacks who live in the United States of America who came from Africa, first of all, well, Europeans did not go there and round up a bunch of free, you know, speaking blacks, much as depicted in Alex Haley's, you know, Roots. They were walking around in togas and quoting from the, you know, from the Greek and so forth. It's ridiculous. Most of the blacks that came here as slaves were, in fact, bought from other blacks. And slavery has existed in Africa since the very beginning of time. And the truth is that slavery was much more widespread and common in Africa than it was ever in terms of the rest of the world. And by the way, there's a lot more chance that the average black had an ancestor who enslaved blacks than the chance that the average white had an ancestor who enslaved blacks. Now think about that one for a second. Let me repeat that, and you can chew on that for a little while. The likelihood is that the average black in the United States of America had an ancestor, a direct ancestor, who enslaved blacks. The average white person in the United States of America did not have an ancestor who enslaved blacks. So if there's reparations, it looks like the reparations are going to have to come from their own people. Okay, we're going to go now to info1@davidduke.com. We'll take a couple emails, and then we'll go back to Stormfront and catch any other posters that might be coming down the pike. And we'll be doing that just quite shortly. Okay, let's go to info box, and we're getting a lot of emails in right now. This is from Oleg, and he's writing from Russia. Glad you're enjoying the show, Oleg. He says, "Dear Mr. Duke, I've read your book, My Awakening, in Russian, 2001 edition. It's called A Jewish Question, an American Perspective by the Eyes of an American. I like the information you provided. It does fit my vision of the situation worldwide." He's got a long letter, but he says, "It's weird. It looks that here in Russia, only people from the Russian Orthodox Church recognize the topic you're talking about. At the same time, your story about the Holocaust reminds me of how the Soviet, now Russian, victory in World War II has become the great victory and getting greater with every year. This victory is a holy topic here, and too many people worship it, but I see the same pattern in both cases. The more time passes, the greater or the more important the event becomes. Is it just a coincidence? Therefore, I'm afraid that Russia has already been lost in the battle like the U.S. Sincerely, Oleg Melentov." Well, Oleg, you know, that may be. We don't know yet who's going to lose what battle and when, but certainly there are members of the Russian parliament who stand up and talk about these issues, whereas in the American government there are none. And certainly the American government, the control of the Jewish neocons, is working very hard to bring down Russia. That tells me something. It tells me a lot, in fact, about the nature of what's going on. I'm an American patriot, and I want what's best for America, and I know the Jewish neocons are not giving us what's best. This horrible war in Iraq, the 20,000 maimed and wounded Americans, the 1,700 dead, the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis who have been killed, and their lives have descended into chaos, all in the name of so-called democracy. It's never been about democracy. It's never been about war. It has always been about one issue, and that's Jewish supremacism. This was a war for Israel, not for any other reason. And this happening, obviously, gives me a great sense of sadness. Now, speaking of sadness, I got another email here, and this is from Robert. He says, I read the letter from R. Ginson. "In my own correspondence with such people, I found that a productive way to respond is the following. He ends the letter by saying, 'How sad.' Well, ladies and gentlemen, I responded to this letter because I knew, I decided after I was in a paragraph that I was going to print it, because this is the kind of letter that deserves a answer. So I wasn't making a very determined effort to convince or convert Mr. Ginson. I just wanted to hit some of the issues real hard, and I hope that this letter will jog a lot of you into action, and that you'll get a kick out of it, and maybe you'll get to work harder for our cause, for our freedom, for our heritage. Anyway, he goes on to say, he ends his letter by saying, "How sad." You end your letter by saying, he quotes to him. He says, "You end your letter by saying, 'How sad,' but your letter does not sound like you are saddened. What it sounds like is you're trying to make me feel guilty by pretending to be sad. It's that type of behavior that we all dislike about people who try to manipulate us by mischaracterizing no matter who they are. That omits the subject of Jewish obnoxiousness and simply throws light on the fact of the obnoxiousness itself. By admitting to discuss the topic from a point of view based on Ginson's Jewishness, he will be made to talk about obnoxiousness itself, and in that he has nothing gainful to say. It could be a way of disarming him. And you could add, you suggest that my activities prove that I'm insane, but I'm not insane to defend oneself against attacks, whether racially biased or otherwise, whether from Jews or non-Jews. I would suggest that you familiarize yourself with a psychological problem known as narcissistic personality disorder. Anyone who understands this disorder and who knows Jews has little choice but to perceive that many Jews characteristically fit this diagnosis very well. The proof is in their behavior as exemplified by your letter. The results of such a reply may seem slight, but he will have no effective answer to it, and that is what you want. If you fight him, he will win because you are fighting a fight which he chose. That means he's likely to be superior in the fight. That's why he chose it. Instead, delineate the subject in a way that supersedes his ability, refer to the truth objectively. In that fight, he cannot win because he's not on the side of truth. I'm not trying to appear older and wiser than you, but it's true. I have something about corresponding. I've learned something about corresponding with that most people don't know. Just to give you some feedback, therefore, one important flaw, if I may say it, that in your responses that you reply, can too easily seen as defensive. What you need to do is sound objective. That gives you power. To appear defensive invites attack. I hope this helps. Sincerely, Robert." Well, Robert, thanks for your ideas, and you have some very good ideas there, but let me tell you something. You know, it's good to be objective, but sometimes it's really good to be passionate. And I think that this letter demanded a passionate response. And I do believe that it's going to be passion that's going to save our civilization, our culture, our people, our heritage, our race. It's going to be passion. And there was nothing that in my letter that was inaccurate or erroneous, but I laid it out hard and swift and fast, and by his attacking of me and calling me insane and so forth, that gave me the opportunity to really attack him and show the complete hypocrisy of what he's doing. This is from Worldview News. They wrote me an email. They said, "Hasbara means, quote, propaganda in Hebrew. This is how it is, by no mere coincidence, that every major newspaper has the same slant in the news, pro-Jewish, anti-Arab, and how Israel's advocacy agenda has replaced U.S. politics in both the left and the right wing. As we continue our largest summer, I want to share with you a recent article in the JTA. It discusses the various programs taking place this summer to educate and train students to be pro-Israel activists, and Hasbara fellowships are featured." Interesting. I'll have to get some of those links up there. This is from Truett, and he says, "Mr. Duke, my name is Truett. I'm 32, and I think you're doing an outstanding job for our people. It's frustrating living in a large city that cares more for minorities than the white taxpayers who provide for them. I live in Houston, Texas, and see the anti-white crap on a daily basis, especially from the Houston Communist Chronicle, our only major newspaper. I've never been a member." He goes on. He says, got a nice long letter. He says, "If you choose to run for a seat for political office that I'm able to vote for you, I want to assure you that I will help you. You have my vote." Well, thanks, Truett. Glad you're listening, and keep spreading the radio program around. Glad to hear it. Okay, we've got some more coming up. We've got, this is from Gerard. He says, "I would like to know your opinion about George Bush and his politics. Do you think that the Klan can recognize at least part of itself in Bush's politics? Thanks for your attention." Well, I don't know. That's kind of an interesting article from Girard. And, you know, I don't think the Klan can recognize itself in Bush's politics. And, you know, and I don't think it's a really relevant question, you know, whether it can or not. But it's George Bush is totally a person who has forsaken his own people, his own heritage, his own culture, and his own country. He has betrayed America to the Jewish supremacists, who have hijacked our foreign policy like lock, stock, and barrel. He has launched a horrible war in the Middle East that is taking American lives, and he did it using lies and subterfuge. He's also committed all sorts of international crimes against humanity and crimes against nature, in fact, by what we've done, which is going to put Americans and American soldiers at risk, I think, for generations to come. He ultimately has to take the responsibility for things like Abu Ghraib and what's really going on in Guantanamo. And I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this is not what America is all about. America is not about Guantanamo and what happened in Abu Ghraib. That's what America has become, or becoming, but this is not what America was founded to be. And I don't care how gung-ho you are or patriotic you are, you must begin to understand and realize this, that these things that are done will come back and haunt us. They will come back and they will visit the doorsteps of our own children. We have to have a government that's responsible. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, any government that would violate the basic, you know, rights and character of foreign peoples, they'll do the same thing to our own peoples in a war because they consider themselves at war with us. This is from Tom. He says, "Hello, Mr. Duke. I know you probably get thousands of messages like this a day, but I truly mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking out. Your message is solid, educated, truthful, and great. I can see the supremacy of the in the Jewish community every day, even in my high school, with clubs like the Jewish Student Unions and their flyers, their lies, and their message. Next year, I will counter that club. It's going to be called the European Students Union, most likely. Maybe you could help me. I would love to spread your message throughout my school and the community of 98% of whites. Thanks for your service." And that's from Tom. Well, thank you, Tom. That's great. And it's great to hear so many fine young people out there. Here's a letter from Mark. He's a translator. He's living in Western Canada. He says, "I'm a translator and writer. I have your books from Paul Fromm. I meet regularly. I met David Irving several times. In your book, Jewish Supremacism, you make an appeal to have it translated to other languages. Polish is within the 10 most understood languages in the world, not just in Poland, but in the U.S. There are about 12 million people who understand Polish and would rather read it than English. Many Ukrainians, Latvians, Lithuanians understand Polish. Let's not ignore Jews, who may never admit to being Polish, but speak Polish at home, have many Polish books, and love Polish culture because it is more refined than Hebrew or Yiddish. I strongly recommend that your book be translated into Polish, as well as at least fragments of My Awakening, of those which relate to European matters. I am endorsing a short report on one of the participants of the Kiev Conference, published on the Polish discussion groups, in a synopsis of a famous 1933 book, Sunset of Israel, which you might find interesting. I translated fragments of it, and I'm looking for a publisher in America for it. I also enclose my translation of the fragments of a book proving that J.T. Gross was a liar accusing Poles of murder of Jews at Jedwabne. I hope that this letter will reach you and we could start something good together. Respectfully, that's from Mark." Well, I look forward to hearing from you. And yes, some people have already talked about putting the book into the Polish language, and maybe you can be the translator for that. We'll just have to check that out. So we'll continue to work on that. So anyway, that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're just about out of time. I'm going to go back to Stormfront and see if there's any other posts for the day. We ran through these posts pretty good today. Appreciate your all's participation. And what do we have here? Okay, that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to go. In fact, we are out of time. We just ran out of our 30 minutes. I appreciate all of you. I will certainly be back with you tomorrow. Until then, I want to tell you, God bless you and take care. And for the sake of your children, for the sake of your country, for the sake of your people, for the sake of all of our people's history and all the tears that came before and all the blood that was shed before to make it possible for you to have your life and your family's life. Please start to struggle for our freedom and heritage now. You are sitting before the greatest weapon in the history of the world for the changing of the mind and enlightening people to the truth. The internet, with the internet right this moment, you can literally reach thousands of people. You can post on thousands of forums. You can send hundreds of emails. You can send links to my radio program, links to my different articles on davidhute.com, links to the introduction to my book. We have many audio shows you can link to, so you can actually go into the sound of the human voice, which is effective. We have a video introduction to my site that you can link to. You have an opportunity to take this message and get it to the people, so I really hope that all of you listening, as this program ends, and if you listen to this program later streaming or downloaded, then take a few moments when you finish listening to this program and spread this program around and spread the ideas on davidhute.com to more people, not only around the United States but around the world. This is your responsibility. I can't do this by myself. If I have any genius, it's hopefully in recruiting people and enlisting other people into this cause. And if I don't do that job, if I don't convince you to go out and do something yourself instead of waiting for it to happen from others, we're never going to win this battle ahead. Thanks a lot. Take care. God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.